It is Anna that we want to look at this morning, and you'll find that Anna is mentioned only once in the entire Bible, and yet her brief appearance yields to us many profitable and positive points of instruction. She's found here in the temple at that time when Joseph and Mary brought the Lord Jesus for the fulfillment of the Levitical law. According to the law of Moses, when a woman gave birth to a child, if it was a male child, she would be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. And that meant that she could have no contact with her husband, or anybody that she did have contact with would be rendered ceremonially unclean. And then after the 7 day period, the child would then be circumcised, the male child circumcised on the 8th day, and then for 33 days there would be a further period of what was known as purification. And that wasn't just as strict, it wasn't as strict a separation as the 7 day, it was a period in which she could not come into the sanctuary, she could not come into the Lord's house, she could not partake of the Passover or the peace offerings and those things. She would be set apart for a total, the 7 day and then the 33 days, she'd be set apart for 40 days in total, and at the end of the 40 days she would come to the temple and she would offer a sacrifice. And then you'll find it, all the details of it, in Leviticus chapter 12. And there it said that she was to bring a lamb, but if they were not able to bring a lamb, then they could bring the turtle doves or the pigeons. And in this case, Mary had to bring the turtle doves, and that reflects their position, their poverty as a family. They were not able to bring the lamb. And so they were set apart. Mary was set apart for this period of 40 days in total. And that was really, that time of exclusion was signifying that our original corruption would have excluded us forever from the favor of God had it not been for the atoning work of Christ. And so every Jewish mother, when she gave birth to a male child, would be set apart for 40 days, ceremonially unclean. If it was a female child, then the time was doubled in length. And the Lord was emphasizing the fact that by nature, by birth, by original generation, we're brought into this world as sinners, and our sin, our original sin, excludes us from the favor of God, and we can only be restored to the favor of God through the atonement, through the sacrifice of another. So here we have Mary and Joseph coming to the temple at this time, 40 days after the Lord Jesus was born. And Anna was present. That's what we find in verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was there when Mary and Joseph brought the Lord Jesus to the temple 40 days after he was born. And she beheld, she saw, she witnessed the infant Savior. Now surely right away when you come to this brief mention of Anna, the only time that she appears in the scriptures, she appears in the house of the Lord. And she's there at a time when the Lord came. When the Lord Jesus was brought by Joseph and Mary, his mother, she was there. And she beheld, she observed, she witnessed, she saw the newborn Savior, the infant Savior. And surely right away in this brief mention of Anna, there's emphasis being placed upon the great need of attending the means of grace, of being in the house of God. It says in verse 37 that she departed not from the temple. It was her practice, it was her custom, it was her habit. to be in the house of the Lord. And she was there the day that Mary and Joseph brought the Lord Jesus, and she saw the Savior. Now, can you imagine what would have happened if she had risen that day and thought to herself, well, I've too much on my plate and maybe just don't feel like going to the temple today. You know, I'll maybe just miss a day. I'll maybe just take it easy today. She would have missed out when the Lord came, the day that the Lord came, if she had not have been there. But she was there. And surely the Lord is emphasizing to us the necessity of the means of grace and just how great a blessing the means of grace can be to us. We should be in the house of the Lord because that's the place where the Lord comes. And this was the fulfillment. This was the first fulfillment of the prophecy that had been given back in Malachi and the last book of the Old Testament. And when you come to the chapter 3 and the verse 1, God said, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple." And here was the first fulfillment of this. This is a prophecy concerning Christ. And he came suddenly. He came suddenly. And Simeon and Anna were there when the Lord came, and they saw the Lord. And what a blessing it was to both of their hearts the day that the Lord came. And the day that we are tempted to stay away from the means of grace may just be the very day that the Lord will come and the Lord will intend to bless us. And so I think there's an emphasis here in this brief mention of Anna of the importance of the means of grace. But what about this woman herself? There's some wonderful characteristics given to us about her. And the first you can see is her work. She was a worker. For it says in verse 37 that she served God. She served God. She was a worker. And she worked for the Lord. This is the desire that she had, the delight that she had. She was working for the Lord. She was living her life for the Lord, serving the Lord. And you'll notice that she served God as a woman. Here is a woman. And her gender did not exclude her from serving the Lord. There is a place for women in the work of the Lord, a very important place. And then you'll notice that her circumstances and her affliction did not prevent her from serving the Lord or exclude her from serving the Lord. We're told here that she was a widow. Verse 37, she was a widow of about 84 years. There's a difference of interpretation as to what this means. Does it mean that she had been widowed for the 84 years? Or does it mean that that was just her age? Well, I think it just means her age, that that's what age she was. And we don't know how long she had been widowed, but we do know that she'd only been married for 7 years. And then her husband died, and all the years that followed after, she was in that state of widowhood. And so here we have a woman who has suffered great loss, who has faced sorrow and sadness, who has been brought into adverse circumstances, and yet those circumstances did not prevent her from serving the Lord. Here she is, a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. It's very easy to let our circumstances prevent us from serving the Lord. We can allow the adverse things that come into our life to so preoccupy us and even to fill our hearts with resentment and bitterness. And yet here's a woman who faced great hardship in her life, married only for 7 years, and then her husband dies and she's left alone. And in that situation, she carried on serving the Lord. And I believe the Lord brings the adverse circumstances into to our lives in order that we may be a more effective servant for God. He gives us those experiences so that we can identify and share with others in the same experience so that we can work for the Lord and serve the Lord in that situation. So, she worked for God as a woman. She worked for God in spite of great tragedy and personal loss. And then you can see that she worked for God in spite of her age. Her age did not prevent her. 84 years of age. The Bible says in verse 36 that she was of great age. Now, I know this doesn't apply to anybody here. But when you get to that stage of life and you're in the bracket of great age, it doesn't prevent you from serving the Lord. You know, people talk about retirement. Well, there's no retirement in God's work. Because the Lord here used this woman of great age. 84 years of age, and she's still working for God. She's doing something for the Lord. And isn't it a great thing that when the world looks upon people and say, oh, they've got to a stage of life where they're no longer any use, and the world just really bypasses people, and you know, they talk about putting people out to graves, you know, they've got to that stage and that's all they're good for. Well, the Lord doesn't think like that. The Lord employs his people to the very day of their death, to the day when he is appointed for their calling home. There's a work to do for God. Well, in spite of gender, in spite of personal circumstances, and in spite of age, you should never think that you're too old to do anything for God. Not a bit of it. That's what the devil wants you to think. The Lord has a work for you to do. And what was this work that the Lord had for Anna? It was the work of prayer. You see that in verse 37? She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, night and day. Here she is, praying on. Now, she maybe wasn't able to go out and clean up the temple and do all that kind of manual thing. You know, you get in life, there's physical infirmities that come with great age, but yet she could pray. She could pray. And this is a work that the Lord has for all his people. For all his people. And especially when we come to that time of life, there's a work to do for the Lord in prayer. And I do not think that we fully value or fully estimate just how great the service of prayer is. How necessary it is to pray. When we pray, we are bringing God into our situation. We're imploring God. We're pleading with God for his help and his strength and his blessing. Now, you may not be able to go to the mission field as others have gone, but you can hold the rope for those who have gone. And you can pray. And that is a ministry that we should never underestimate. It's a ministry that is so vital in the work of God. And you can pray. That's your part. It's my part in the work of the Lord. So here's this woman, and she's working. She's a worker. But not only is she a worker, she's a witness. She's given this great privilege of the time when the infant Savior is brought into the temple. And she saw him. Verse 38, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The Lord has given her this great privilege. She has beheld the Savior, the one who has been promised, the Messiah who had been promised. And now that promise is fulfilled. He has come in the flesh. And there is Anna. She is so privileged to behold the Savior. And what does she do? She goes away and she tells the people that she knows. She tells the people that she comes into contact with. And she speaks of him. She's now a witness. She's not only working, but she's witnessing. And she's witnessing of the Christ who has come. She's giving her own testimony. I've met the Lord. I've seen the Lord. And she's spreading the message in her locality. There was places she wasn't able to go. Places she wasn't able to go. But in her locality, in the regions of the city of Jerusalem, she was there witnessing for the Lord. And we can be a witness. The Lord wants us to be a witness. You remember what he said in Acts chapter 1, when he told the disciples to wait for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In the verse 8 of chapter 1 of Acts, he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And that's wonderful, because we do not know the extent or the effect that our witness will have. You know, here's this woman, and she's maybe not able physically to go on long journeys. She's maybe confined to a very small area in Jerusalem. But she speaks to somebody that she knows, and she tells them, "I have seen the Savior." And that person maybe leaves Jerusalem and goes and tells somebody else, and then they tell somebody else, and before you know it, it's spread out into Judea, and it's spread into Samaria, and it goes to the uttermost parts of the earth. When the Lord said, "I'll make you witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth," it wasn't only implying the physical witness in those parts, going to those parts physically, but I believe the Lord was emphasizing here that when we witness for him, we really do not know the extent to which our witness will spread. The Lord can use that in wonderful ways, and he can take that witness to the uttermost parts of the earth if we trust him, if we believe him, and if we witness for him. And think about it, in those days they didn't have the technology or the means of communication that we have today. Somebody today can give their testimony in a meeting, and it's recorded on CD, and it can be sent across the world in a day, and somebody on the other side of the world can listen to it. We upload our sermons onto Sermon Audio, and people in different parts of the world are listening to the Word of God, to the witness. You see, when we become witnessers for Christ, we really do not know how far our witness will spread. And the Lord is able to do that. And the Lord, I believe, would have us to follow the example of Anna, her work, her witness, and then notice finally her worship. Because when she came in, it says in verse 38, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. She gave thanks. This is the very first thing that she did when she came in to the house of the Lord, and she saw the infant Savior in the arms of Mary, his mother. Her heart was immediately filled with gratitude. Her first response was to praise God and to give God thanks that he had kept his word, he had fulfilled his promise, the Savior had come, the one who would redeem men from their sin and reverse the curse and bring the everlasting blessing. Her first response is to give thanks to the Lord. And she's worshiping. It's good to work. And it's good to witness. But the best thing of all is to be a worshipper. The Lord said that in John chapter 4. The Father seeketh such to worship him. What is God looking for? He's looking for worshippers. Verse 23 of John chapter 4. He said, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him." God is seeking worshippers. And those who will worship in spirit and in truth. And here is this woman worshipping the Lord. And you notice that she worships the Lord not only individually. It's not only a place for individual gratitude and individual thanks to the Lord for what He's done, but she's worshipping the Lord in a collective fashion. Look at the word likewise. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. It means in like manner or in the same way. And this is a reference to Simeon. You see, Simeon blessed the Lord and gave the Lord thanks and praise when he saw the Lord Jesus. And now Anna is doing the same. She's entering in to the same worship that Simeon offered. And the thought here is that there's not only a place for individual gratitude and worship to God, but there's a place for collective worship. When we come together and when we worship the Lord and we give thanks to Him for His great love to us and for His salvation. And the secret here is this. The secret is this. That what will make us most effective workers and most effective witnessers is when we are worshippers. All our work and all our service and all our witnessing must flow out of a worshipping heart. A heart that worships God. And when we're worshipping the Lord and when our hearts are flowing with gratitude to God, it's then that we will serve Him, and it's then that we will desire to speak of Him and to witness to His grace and power. And so worship is such a vital aspect and so necessary to the Christian life, something the Lord is seeking for. And when we are worshipping the Lord, it's then that you will have the desire to serve the Lord. The service flows out of a worshipping heart. So what a brief mention it is of this woman, but you can see just how much there is here concerning this woman. She was a worker for God. She was a witnesser to the Christ of God. And she was a worshipper of the God of heaven. May the Lord bless this short study to our hearts, and may we seek to follow in the steps of this woman, Anna.